Call the subcommittee meeting to order. This is a subcommittee on House Bill 2847. And we'll conduct this very informally. Mr. Lobdell, do you or some of your crew have an amendment to livestock for us? Ted or Ira or somebody?
Mr. Chairman, things are falling through the cracks in the department.
Is that right?
And I'm afraid we've blown the ball game. We're supposed to have that. But Mr. Deluge has been called off on some other activities. And Mr. Barbera is here, but he's had to pick this up just the last few hours.
Okay.
And the governor's going to be unhappy with me because I'm supposed to have the damn amendment.
Okay, we do have, I think, the amendment that adds the livestock. Yeah, the livestock exemption. We do have that, of course.
Okay, then I'm off the hook. I appreciate
that. Yeah, we have that. Our last subcommittee meeting, we got hung up, one, on the definition of livestock. And maybe we can just go ahead and have a little discussion of that from a practical viewpoint as far as the department is concerned and the assessors are concerned. We got to talking about such things as trout farms and worm farms and things like that, whether they would be exempted or should be exempted, and their equipment. And I don't think we finally decided that the department would come back with a definition of livestock, if I remember, and I was hoping we would have that. But as a practical matter, how can your assessors assess a worm farm or a trout farm anyway? How do you get an inventory to put a tax on? Is that kind of an impossible situation? Yeah, go ahead.
I think where it's occurred, they estimated the weight, for instance, of the trout, and figure they have so many hundred pounds, and value them in that manner.
Yeah, it is.
I think that one of the problem with the use of the word livestock in section 4 of your amendments on page 3 of your amendments. Might limit it based on what's in the paragraph on page 2, which is A of sub 3. There it says livestock, poultry, fur-bearing animals, or honeybees. Maybe livestock means everything normally followed as livestock except those items, which, if that's what you want it to mean, is one thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Jones.
Yeah, I wonder if we couldn't separate the two by saying livestock does not include wildlife, which fish is considered wildlife, unless it's on a private, which is the state's hatcheries, they're not considered private, and they're exempt anyway, aren't they?
Right.
Then maybe you could define wildlife by saying fish comes under wildlife definition.
I'm not so sure you have that big a problem. Livestock has been a definition that we've dealt with in a series of places and statutes over the years. If you think of those items that might be borderline definitions, I'm not too sure that they can't be dealt with administrative rules or just by looking at the how the courts have handled the definition of livestock over time. Maybe you're crazy trying to define it any further than you have.
All right, you got an answer?
Yes, I think maybe I can shed some light on this, Mr. Chairman. This definition of farm machinery and equipment used in the planting and so on, and the produce of livestock, poultry, fur-bearing animals, or honeybees, was put into the farm use definition way back when that section was first introduced, primarily because of legal opinions that had come out of the AG's or the tax division of the law section. In looking this up, livestock does not, under the general definitions where this has been defined by the court, does not include poultry, definitely does not include fur-bearing animals or honeybees. Those are not included within the definitions of livestock. And therefore, when we got around to defining what was farm use, this was called to the attention of the legislature, and at that time, the legislature said, all right, we want farm use to include land that is used for the raising of poultry and also land that is used for the raising of fur-bearing animals or honeybees. And so that's the reason why those are used in there. And so if you use just the term livestock, I think you'll find court decisions and court definitions that would say that poultry is not exempt under that definition just by the term livestock alone. And likewise, fur-bearing animals or honeybees would not be included, nor would worms, this sort of thing. You're talking about ordinarily, in the usual sense of the word, of what livestock is horses, cows, draft animals, this type of thing. And that's why these other terms were put in the statute originally.
Okay, that livestock is used in Section 4. We're talking about exempting it from ad valorem tax, and this was the governor's proposal in his budget. I'm sure that the people concerned would be as happy, any of them would be happy to have any that as broad as possible, but was the governor's intent it only applied to livestock in the normal sense of the word?
Well, the governor's intent in making them immediately exempt is to provide some kind of relief to the cattle industry that because of the drought situation.
So he's mainly concerned about the cattle and sheep and normally.
If the committee decides they want to add worms and fur-bearing, I'm sure they
okay.
have an
Yeah, and you might also look in the definition of livestock as it presently is in ORS 310-608. Again, it just used the general definition of livestock. It's not expanded at all to include those other items. And, you know, it's whether or not you want to expand this supposedly increasing, or I shouldn't say increasing, but setting ahead when the total phase-out will occur, whether you want to include something more than what's been traditionally included over, since 1969, the president has been phasing out.
Okay. Danny, I'm satisfied with that. You? I'm just
sure.
Like it is as far as the exemption on the livestock. Was there anyone here that had any other sentiments on that particular part of it, that was anxious to see anything else included in livestock except the goats, sheep, cattle, horses, pigs? I guess that basically covers it right now, doesn't it?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Danny.
I was talking to Mr. Deleuze about, an addition there of sub C on page 2 of the amendment following livestock. And, you know, we have in there I believe he's taken out goods in process. Now I'm sure that, you know, we generally know what they're talking about there. That's goods in the process of being changed from, I suppose, their original state to a canned state or frozen. But also, my point there was growing crops could be in the process of becoming something too, in the process of growing. And I talked to Mr. Deleuze about this, and he said, well, that's simple. Just add a sentence to that and refer it back to the statute that exempts growing crops from taxation. And even though this is being phased out over the next 3 years, we never know when it's going to be put back on. And I don't want crops such as grain crops and row crops and things to be inventory and tax in the future sometime. And I just, he thought it would be real simple just to add a sentence there that would exempt that from that type of situation in the future, and I see he hasn't done it, and he isn't here to defend himself.
The problem, Ira, you realize what the problem is, Ira?
I'm not sure that Representative Jones' concerns are real in this case. Just keep in mind that definition starts out items of tangible personal property, and growing crops until they're severed would not be considered tangible personal property. My advice was correct, and therefore could not be considered good in the process.
Yes,
well,
but you're overlooking the fact that that hay is stacked and that's processed. It's all put in the same section or stored in
goods and processed finished goods and other personal property. I think, take things like hay, or maybe the farmer who has harvested his potatoes and hasn't marketed them yet is holding them.
My point here, Mr. Chairman, is that maybe this doesn't apply. Maybe the intentions are good, but you know, I can remember coming back down here twice, two different sessions, to correct something that we thought was right in a special session, and I can see nothing wrong with adding a little short sentence there that will exempt this from the possibility of being taxed sometime. Now, if you don't want to do it, well, fine.
Ira,
Mr. Chairman, I would call your attention to ORS 307-320. Which says the value of any deciduous trees, shrubs, plants, or crops, whether annual or perennial, growing upon agricultural land devoted to agricultural purposes, shall be exempt from assessment and taxation and shall not be deemed real property under the provisions of ORS 307-010. Seems to me like they're already exempt.
Mr. Deluge alluded to this, but he said that particular statute was fact. Passed way back when. Here we're reenacting another one, and he said that we could refer back to that particular statute that you just mentioned and say right here after sub C that the preceding paragraph does not apply to this particular exemption.
I don't know. Maybe he would want to go into court and try to defend that even under the inventory phase out statute. Somehow growing crops were inventory, but in view of 307-320, I certainly wouldn't want to, and it seems to me like they're talking about two different things. One's a growing crop, and the other one is an item of inventory.
I don't think
there'd be any chance that those would ever become taxable.
I don't think we're really talking about a growing crop, Byron, so much as we are a crop that has been harvested and is in the process of sale by the farmer, or is being held for sale by the farmer.
Then the next section, 307-325, says the items of personal property described in subsection 3 of ORS 308-250, which on the assessment date are owned and in the actual or constructive possession of the farmer who produced them or who has procured them for use or consumption of his farm operations, shall be exempt from taxation. That, along with the definition of inventory,
I'm sure that takes care of it. Where he's produced them on his farm or he's holding them for his own consumption or use, they're exempt under that part of the law. I'm satisfied if you are.
How can you say that he's holding them for his own use when you're selling your cattle? You might want to sell your hay. That isn't for your own use. You're going to sell it and get some money out of it. But
if
it's in the hands of the ones that produced it, they're exempt. If it's in the hands of the farmer who has purchased them, but purchased them for his own use, they're exempt. So you're covered both ways. Like hay that you bought to use for your own cattle. If you produced it, even if you're going to sell it, it's exempt because you produced it and are holding it. If you purchased it and are going to use it feed your own stock and you're not in the business of purchasing and selling hay as a profession, well, then it's exempt also. It's not an inventory. So I think you're protected.
You know, Mr. Chairman, with all the exemptions that they've read about, I'm wondering why we need to see a toll then. I mean, like we're taking care of it every place, why clutter the bill up with another section?
Well, the reason for C, of course, is to cover goods that are in a retail store, I would imagine. Isn't that right, Ira? That part C is
for
retail sales or
tangible personal property that's held for the sale of stores, factories, you name it. Farmers incidentally could come under it as well if they're holding something for sale to others, so they're protected twice. But this primarily is talking about other than agricultural people.
Mike, I'm glad you showed up. Let's talk about your problem. How are you coming? Come on and sit down and join us.
Well,
if you'd like to.
I'm not certain if the attorney is under kind of face right.
I'm Maurice Georges.
Okay. Here's the fellow that's probably in a better position to respond to what you're going to try to do with Bill and I am, because as I indicated to the committee, Director Laudell knows we're in a kind of a difficult situation as far as all being able to sit down and approach this because of the potential of further actions involved in the case. Maybe you folks have come to some position where you want to make a statement to the committee. I'm not
well,
certain. Right? Whatever.
Not
it
really,
is.
Unless I did have a discussion with Mr. Barbera. Last week, and we transmitted them to our clients. Our clients have not as yet had an opportunity to react to them, but in the meantime, I have carried on some discussion with Mr. Barbera, and I had the impression he was going to make a proposal this afternoon, and I'm not authorized to say anything unless he says something.
Okay. Could you identify yourself for the record? We didn't
Excuse me,
pick
I'm
that
Maurice
up.
Georges, and I am counsel for, I was counsel in Eastern Oregon Farms against the Department of Revenue for the various plaintiffs in that case, and I am here representing at least some of those plaintiffs at this particular time.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ted Barbera. I'm an attorney with the Tax Division of the Department of Justice. The conversation to which Mr. Georges referred was one I had with him, one I had with him this morning following a conference with Mr. Lobdell and Mr. Deluz, our Chief Tax Counsel. And it was concluded at that time that we should propose that the bill be amended so as to make center pivots as described in the bill taxable for tax years preceding 1/1/77. Of course, that would be the original amendment to the statute that became effective 1/1/73, so it'd be from 1/1/73 through up to 1/1/77, and thereafter, the tax year beginning on and after 1/1/77, to subject these center pivots to the benefits of the inventory phase out. we somehow got our signals crossed and don't have any amendments in written form to submit setting that out. But that was our thought this morning.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you kind of put
well,
this
I
thing together?
Run that by me again now. Did I understand you to say that there was a verbal agreement which did you intend to infer that both parties had agreed to as
no.
far as
Oh, no,
matter?
No, we haven't even discussed it yet.
Okay.
First time I've seen those in a year.
Okay. So the proposal from the department is still consistent with the original amendment that you offered, or has it been changed from the amendment that was offered, the amendment which I forwarded, I think, to Mr. Lamb and others?
No, it varies from the amendment that was offered. The amendment that was offered
by the department at our last meeting. Okay.
The amendment that was offered, as I understood it, clarifies what is personal, that inventories are personal property, which then may or may not strengthen an appeal of the department to the Supreme Court in terms of the case that is now being litigated. What we're proposing is that we can terminate the litigation and eliminate the problem that some of the counties have in terms of tax refunds by legislation that would clearly make them taxable prior to 1177 and clearly make them subject to inventory phase out subsequent to 1177. That eliminated the litigation problem, concurrently eliminates the refund problem that the counties have.
Mr. George.
Chairman, I'm authorized to state that the client with whom I spoke after I spoke to Mr. Barbera is vehemently opposed to the proposed change in the amendments which he proposed, which have already been submitted as they that particular client wants the benefit of the decision which has we have won in the tax court. That particular phase of it, that particular client is opposed, and I think I can say with assurance, although I haven't contacted all the clients, that they would all be opposed to making these amendments retrospective. With respect to amendments relating to center pivots, again, a particular client with whom I spoke this morning said that as far as he was concerned, he would just assume there'd be no amendments regarding center pivots. But I have not had an opportunity to speak with our other clients as to prospective operation of the statute, as to whether they are or are not opposed to the to any amendments relating to center pivots. I think you can understand that there are two different positions here. One, the amendments which we did receive last Friday, and then the amendment which Mr. Barbera just spoke of, and I'm just very sure that all of our clients would be opposed to the legislature in effect taking away the benefits of the decision which the tax court has handed down, and which we, in our humble opinion, think will be upheld in the Supreme Court.
Of course, you run that risk if it's not upheld, if you're back.
We don't run any risk there. They want to take it away from us entirely. There's no risk involved in going backwards. It's all downhill. But prospectively, you're quite right. There is a risk involved there. The one client, as I say, clients, they forget the whole thing and let's just take our chances with the court. Others, we have not consulted. We have a different view. Perhaps what I'm saying to you is premature, but I feel very clear that our clients would all oppose any retrospective application.
Mike, did you ever find out what the possible impact of the refund could be on those counties? Or did
we have a ballpark guess. In fact, a fellow from Umatilla County, Mr. White, is here. We guessed about $100,000, did we not, Tom? Is that for the too, or is that just Umatilla County? Do you have any?
Well, somewhere between ballpark estimates, depending on not whether it goes on for another year this year.
Yes.
If we're just talking about the 2 years, somewhere around $56,000
for your county,
and then 56 to 70 somewhere.
Yeah, same from Morrell.
Similar from Morrell. Okay, that's as close as we can come, I assume.
Okay. Does anybody know what the total tax levy is for those counties?
Yeah, we have the information, but it's down in Mike's office. I can run down and get it.
I will supply that to the committee.
Yeah.
I have that. I don't know what bearing
you
that
know,
we would have, but...
well, if we're talking about a half of 1% of the total assessed value, it's not going to hurt anybody. If we're talking about 10% of the total...
Value. What they're talking about is taxes to be refunded, not values there.
Well, yeah, I meant
Umatilla,
tax levy. That
Mr. White could come pretty close to what the local
total levy is for Umatilla County, or the.
You mean the total tax that was collected last year
for the county? Yeah.
$18,575,409.83.
So it would not. You know, in terms of absolute dollars, not impact Umatilla severely. Morrell, I would be much more concerned about it. They're a totally different relationship there. And I don't know
with,
what it affects.
With a percentage distribution, that's the refund is distributed back percentage-wise to every taxpayer in the county. So spread over that basis on an $18 million tax levy, that amount of refund is not going to really hurt any district to any great extent. I can't see where it's going to hurt anybody. It's probably less than a half of their total budget, or
Chairman,
a half of a percent of their total budget. Yeah.
Judge Jones of Morrell County told me on the phone, though these are his figures, not mine, that the loss, if they had to refund, I guess probably the maximum they fear, is the way it's stated, was going to be about $18,000 for the county. After this, when they absorb their share of the percentage distribution. And he said that was about the equivalent of their annual 6% increase in their budget.
Well, if that's accurate, we're talking about 6% of the budget. It would be not only for the county, but for every other taxing district. That's a sizable impact. And, you know, this is one of the pieces of information I was trying to find out, because we don't want to put...
It's the thing that occurs to me, and I think that we have to be very, you know, very careful in this area. The legislature, I don't know if this kind of a situation has ever happened before, but the legislature ought to be very careful about getting in between two parties that are in the process of completing litigation, and I guess that's where I'm coming from at this point. And I think that's a responsible position to be in. I just, you know, if we think that any action we take here could conceivably affect that, unless there's some way that an agreement is arrived at. Is that a fair statement? And I just would caution the committee, as I'm cautioning myself after we get into this, that I realize that there's substantial consequences for Comfort counties, and I'm not trying to play that down, but I certainly think the legislature should not be meddling where there's some possibility that what we did would substantially change the weight or the balance of the evidence in a case that is certainly of significant nature. Now, that's kind of where I'm coming from, and I guess what I'm telling the committee is that rather than press ahead, we better see if there's some kind of mutual agreement. Otherwise, we may well be, as was suggested by Mr. Georges, we may just have to forget the thing. I'm not sure, but I would caution us against moving too quickly.
Ira, if we have amend out the language in here concerning the center pivots and just go with the rest of the bill, is this going to affect the problem with the center pivots over there in your lawsuit? That, okay, you have another bill in that can take care of that center pivots and could be held in.
Yes, there is a Senate bill that's very similar, if not identical, to the amendments specifically dealing with center pivot.
Would that be acceptable to you if we just amend that whole problem out and it can be dealt with in your bill
I would like to have a few minutes to simply discuss this.
Sure.
As I've indicated to the director, at the time that bill was introduced, I was not aware of the litigation, and all of a sudden it became apparent to me that what I was doing was getting right in the middle of a court case, and I felt very reluctant to pursue that. I think as anyone would, some degree of concern for the letting the court system work.
When do you expect to?
I guess I'm going to ask Mr. He's raising his hand right now.
At any time that any of you feel uncomfortable, we'll turn off the tape and go off the record and take a recess, if that would help the discussion. Any.
I don't look at this as though we're negotiating conclusions.
No.
No.
No, right.
I consider this a legislative hearing.
Yeah.
I want to say, Senator Thorne, that the only thing that I consider that would be getting into this lawsuit and getting in the middle of the lawsuit is the retrospective amendment proposed. I don't have any difficulty with any of this language, which was submitted to the committee last week, so far as affecting the lawsuit is concerned. I don't really think that there's anything here that can be held against us, let's say, and the appeal to the Supreme Court. It makes it explicit that there is in the future a tangible personal property requirement. Okay, so now it's explicit. That's all right. That certainly no one can draw any inference, I don't think, from that it was always there or anything of that sort. So I don't have any problem with that so far as I say, any of the language in this particular bill is concerned, so far as the lawsuit that was already tried. The only thing that I regard as I would say, I'll say interference in the lawsuit. Is the retrospective amendment which was proposed, and that simply, obviously, that is an interference because if that legislation would be passed and were constitutional, I want to make it clear that I'm not sure about the constitutionality of amending a law with respect to which there's already been a judgment rule and there's already been a case tried. I haven't got into that, and I don't really know that the legislature can do that. But if they could do it, I would still consider that interference in the lawsuits already on the books.
Okay. John, what about the department? Would you be comfortable with it the way it is now?
I'm comfortable with Senator Thorne's position that the entire policy issue of center pivot be left to the litigation. And then after the matter's litigated, if, you know, in the 79th session you want to take another look at it because you don't like that conclusion, then adopt whatever legislation you need. And that way neither side is going to be affected in the litigation.
I would be comfortable with that. You do think, though, that the language that's in here now might affect the litigation? This is really a new language that's only prospective. It doesn't affect what went before. Ira, maybe you would.
Well, let me, Mr.
Go ahead,
Chairman,
go ahead,
just
John.
A minute. In my own mind, I was one of the parties who proposed within the McCall plan and then after the McCall plan that the inventory phase out be expanded and to incorporate farm machinery. And so in my own mind, you know, I'm reasonably comfortable with what the legislature intended at that time. And I'm totally convinced the law may not square with that, but what they were addressing was items of personal property, that they were not addressing items of real property. And But the tax court has made the determination that it doesn't make any difference whether it's real or personal, that it's, you know, machinery. I think that issue, without some clear legislative direction or intent in the future statute, is one that maybe should be decided in the tax court. But if you're going to legislate in this area, then as a matter of policy, you ought to address the concerns of the counties, and you ought to address, you know, what was legislative intent. And then you ought to make a clear policy decision that is prospective. So I think you can properly address those retroactive periods. But in the absence of that clear decision, then I think you're better off, in terms of public policy, to leave the matter to the litigation, both in terms of the prospective as well as the retroactive features.
Ira, did you?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to relate to you something that happened several sessions ago. And this had to do with whether or not certain corporations were entitled to the corporate inventory tax offset, whether they were in Oregon completely or out of Oregon. We had during the time that this was considered by the legislature, we had a case in the Supreme Court. And both committees, both the Senate Revenue Committee and the House Revenue Committee, put in the records that the amendments to this bill were to be prospective only and not have any bearing upon the court decision. When the court decision was handed down, the judge said, well, the legislature passed out in this last section an amendment to such and such a law, and this obviously indicated what the legislature meant that the law was all the time and followed it. So even if you try to keep your amendments from being retroactive, by putting statements in the record and everything else, this is not necessarily going to bind the courts. And so I thought I would bring this to your attention. That's why you say it's prospective only. The courts may look at it differently.
Could, Mr. Chairman, could I just have just a brief history of the lawsuit, please, from the
litigation?
Yes.
Yes.
Or the court,
where
it started and how, you know, what the, how many
the
courts it went through and so on.
Plaintiffs are Eastern Oregon Farming Company, Oregon Potato Inc., Western Empires Corporation, Far West Farms, Oregon Limited, Boeing Agro Industrial Company, the Department of Veterans Affairs, Sabre Farms, Inc. Okay. For many
the defendants are the Revenue Department.
Department of Revenue.
Yes.
For, I say many years, I don't know how many years, but for many years, for some years in any event, Morrow County had considered center pivots defined to be, now, I don't know what you call it, personal property, but in any event, subject to the exemption, subject to the inventory phase out. I believe as a result of studies of the Department of Revenue, Morrow County officials became convinced that center pivots really weren't personal property, or at least were not subject to the inventory phase-out. So in 1975, although these center pivots were reported on the personal property tax returns for all our clients, the county said no, they weren't personal property, no, they weren't subject to the inventory phase out, and added them to the value of the land. That was protested. Some problem as to just how it should have been protested. We protested it both ways, both to the Board of Equalization and directly to the Department of Revenue. The Department of Revenue decided after a hearing that the center pivots were not personal property and therefore were not subject to the inventory phase-out. Our clients filed complaints in the tax court saying that they were entitled to the inventory phase-out and they were personal property. And the tax court said that there is no requirement that farm machinery used in the harvesting, cultivating of crops be personal property, cited on that basis. these are farm machinery, and obviously they therefore qualify for the inventory phase out. And that's where we are.
Then you appeal that decision.
No, we haven't appealed. We like
day one.
I thought you said that that the court decided that they were inventory.
That's correct, that they were inventory. I'm not.
So they're subject to the phase out.
Yes.
The department maintains that they're real property, so they're not subject to the phase out.
Mr. Chairman, what Mr. George has said is true. I should make it clear that there is not yet an appeal pending. The papers are on my desk ready for signature, but has not yet been filed. You asked earlier whether the language that's contained in the printed amendment that were under discussion would affect this litigation at all. I can see where it could. There were two issues before the tax court. The first issue was whether it made any difference whether these things were real or personal property. The second issue was, assuming it makes a difference, are they in fact real or personal property? The tax court, of course, decided it didn't make any difference. So the issue on appeal will be limited to that decision. Does it make a difference whether they are real or personal property? Assuming that does make a difference, then we would have to confront the issue of whether these center pivot devices are in fact real or personal property. Now, if in the interim a bill passes declaring that they are personal property, it would have certainly have an effect on litigation.
Might I ask then what you're feeling about wheel lines as far as this particular issue?
Wheel lines.
Right.
Well, of course they weren't involved in it. They weren't involved in the case, but we take the position. I think we have taken the position that those are personal property.
Therein lies the thing that seems inconsistent.
Right.
They're one and the same.
They do the same thing. It's just a matter of whether the one is stationary and goes around, or at least bolted to a thing, or whether the one is going laterally. And therein lies.
I think there, though, Mike, a wheel line, even though it may be disconnected and rolled over again the fence during the winter, it's still connected to the well. And how about the kind you pack on your back that I'm familiar with? They're also the same thing. So I think that the question here, if you're going to go for an amendment of this kind, certainly the wheel line should be included in here too. To strengthen either one of them, if that's necessary.
I would not disagree with that, but my position is, whether it's this issue or any other issue, I question the validity at this point, knowing what I've just heard of the legislature getting in the middle of this thing, doing something that would tip the balance of evidence, unfairly either way, whether it's center pivots or something to do with human resources.
I guess my problem a little bit ago was that I didn't recognize who Mr. George represented.
Oh, yeah, he represented the plaintiffs in the case. I should have.
Sorry, I didn't make that clear.
You did, but I didn't get it. I was reading it.
So that's the dilemma we're faced with, and my recommendation at this point the committee is just forget it. But
I think it looks to me like that at this point is about all we can do. We got a choice of waiting for some kind of agreement to be reached on this litigation, or to take out the center pivot problem entirely out of this bill and proceed with the balance of it. And being you do have another bill in that could be used for changes in legislation if that's settled in time.
What's the hang up?
The point that I raised earlier, simply this, that whether it's this issue or any other issue, it's the general policy decision of the legislature acting in the middle of basically what I think could be construed to be litigation yet. I think there's the alternative yet of appealing the case to the Supreme Court. And what we're trying to do is if we act now, do we unfairly either way, or do we prejudice the evidence one way or the other when the court looks at the final decision, assuming they may. room will probably know, but that we won't even attempt to pursue that. But that's the
we don't know.
Yeah.
We're guessing.
Sure.
That was
I think so. Both sides are they're counting their whole card right now. Whether they got an ace or a deuce and a hole, I guess. At any rate, so the conclusion seems to be appropriate to just get our hands off of it until some decision is ultimately reached, and then the legislature conceivably could reaffirm that in the statute. I have my own strong feelings about the question, but I have to back off of them in light of the policy question of do we get in the middle of a court case? And
I agree.
I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that, but I have my reaction and it tells me we better get out of it.
How soon would we know?
Ask the.
We know now unless they appeal, but I suspect they may appeal. If they appeal, we won't know until the next session.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a Thursday.
Mm-hmm. I've got another meeting unless there's further on this area. I'm going to go.
Is that satisfactory with anyone? Is there anyone that objects to just amending out the entire center pivot part of this bill and proceeding with the rest of it? I think at this stage that's really about all we can do. Okay, let's go ahead on that basis then. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, Carl.
And we mentioned wheel lines. Put wheel lines in there, or are they in there under the definition now?
I don't think there's any question on wheel lines. There never has been. They've always been accepted as personal property. I don't see any reason to raise that at this time. It's supposed to phase out. I can't see the department raising a question on that. Well, there is a difference.
It still hook on though, Doc.
Yeah.
No, there's no difference really.
There's a difference up to the point where they hook on, I think. As far as I'm concerned.
Self-propelled from the standpoint of a little motor, and that's what turned around to
a both hook on to a hookup.
I really can't see Senator Thorne's position here on this. It seems to me like the legislature could solve the court case by defining what the heck it is rather than lawn for the rest of the 2 or 3 years.
Well,
I mean,
that's
blunt way to put it. It either is or it isn't.
That's probably true. We could solve the court case. The question is, should we be doing that in the first place? And secondly, is that there is a substantial impact on the tax district in at least one of those counties involved, apparently. Because some of these taxes have been paid and they'll have to be refunded.
They've assessed them as real property.
Yeah.
And, of course, then that's the continuing thing. And but you see the precedent there we're setting those up. If they're going to class something movable as real property, then where are they going at?
If you don't make it retroactive and it goes
Well, the department testified that they felt that this would jeopardize their case because the judge would look at our actions and say, well, this is what the legislature intended all the time. You know, and I really... I tend to think that that's what they did intend all the time, but...
I'm not part of this committee, but I'm sure...
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. this is a subcommittee that's going to take a recommendation back, and any member of the committee that wishes to take the time to be here is a part of the subcommittee, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I feel real strong about it. I think it should be classed the same as a wheel mover. And I think it takes our committee action.
Mr. Chairman, how about what's your feeling about many fields that are set with the whole set of sprinklers? And sitting there on top of the ground, and if they don't have livestock, maybe they're leaving there all winter. Are you going to feel like they're certainly hooked on to a well at one end, and the field is completely covered with them, so you don't move them at all. All you do is turn it on. And they're just laying there on top of the ground, and I think we're going to have to make a decision here. If we don't, we're just going down the road jumping from one thing to another.
I do too.
Clarify a little further for me. I got here late. They don't assess the well with any value.
I define their cecil as the sand putt.
Cecil, I'm not sure what they did, and I think we better find out if anyone knows. I'm not sure it's uniform from county to county, but can someone tell us exactly how they did go about assessing that?
The well?
Yes.
Well, the whole system.
The water rights are assessable, and we'll show on the roll. Now, if there was a cost in digging a well, I presume that fund recognized and reflected in the value.
You know what they did in the process of putting these assessments on the roll in the past, George? They must have assessed the pipes that run out
to the... center pivots now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, they're on the assessment roll from the bottom pump from the river along the Columbia there. And I mean, there is. If you've gone up the Columbia, you've seen the huge pumping stations.
And the whole system...
many hundreds of thousands of dollars involved, maybe even in the millions. I don't know the value of them, but yes, they are assessed from the initial point clear to the end.
All the way through, they're assessed as real property.
We said they were real property. And
now,
the assessors put them on the assessment roll.
Now, you say a lot of them are pumps on the river. Are those pumps permanent, or do they?
Oh yes. Oh, they would be. You bet.
They're
big installations.
In our area, we have a lot of pumps on the river that they move up when we have flooding.
In your area, you've got nothing to even begin to compare with what they have up there.
Well, I don't think I have qualms about that.
Evidently the policy has been in the past that everything, the whole thing, all the way through on these was real property.
How
any other irrigation?
The well. I'm not talking about a pump on the river. Some of them have wells.
That's
the
real
well.
Property too.
That's
the well
real
property.
All right, how about in the wheel line?
If there's a well involved there, it would also be assessed.
That's real property.
Real property.
The well, but not the wheel move. No.
I assume that they would be on his personal property.
That's what I say. Well and your pump.
The well and the pump, and if you have buried feeder lines, they probably are on real property also.
That's real property.
Yeah.
You bet. That's the way I think that.
Okay.
It's the rule book stuff we're talking about.
Right.
Your hand packs and your wheel moves, and that have all been not on real property.
Well, in the smaller systems, like here in the valley, the pump itself, where it's portable, would be part of the first.
Where it's portable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see what I mean? If they're stationary in the well, that's real property.
It might be down a hole, but it's just.
Right.
It's portable.
Mr. Chairman,
before we take action on the amending this out, let's do a little more sort of backfield of politics and see just where all the problem lies here. Mr. George apparently is, if he's looking at the retroactive payment, maybe his problem.
Well, Mr. George really doesn't have any problem, except that nothing happened that'll interfere with his lawsuit or the standing of it.
Except that I understood his clients were opposed to this amendment. Is that
they're opposed to an amendment that changes this back retroactive.
Oh.
It is all. I understood it. Wasn't that right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would be opposed to moving back and making clarification retroactive.
I think he said that one client would sooner forget the amendments and the other client would. And there I'm hazy, but I believe the other client wanted the retroactivity in the amendments. There were two distinct things from two different clients.
See, you got more than I think just the five appellants in this case too, because if we go to Supreme Court and the department loses the case, then the counties are going to. I don't think the department has any alternative but to order the department make refunds in those cases where that even weren't under appeal for those retroactive years. That's what Mr. Mobdell's concerned about.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're talking about many thousand dollars.
Well, it creates a real problem for the county. You know, they're going to go back and jack up everybody's taxes 5-10% to cover whatever it is. Well, they've got to recover that money, and that's just exactly what will have to happen.
I know, but let's don't let the dollar signs of, from that standpoint get in front of our eyes now. Let's do something that's going to work for the next 50 years or 100 years. I may not be around quite that long, but.
Well, Danny, I'll bet you will be. No, I think you're right, Danny. I think that you ought to look down the road.
We have those in Harney County, too, you know. I don't think they got much of a backlog of taxes. They haven't been in some of there as long as tomorrow's County.
Should we do that now or after we pass it?
After you vote.
Okay. I think it appears to be the sentiment of the subcommittee that they would like to go ahead with the definition of the center pivot as it's in the proposed amendments. Give the department one last chance to argue that point if they would wish.
Up the committee. I think the case has been stated.
Yeah.
We're just the hangers on.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question for clarification?
Sure.
Everybody else in the room may know the answer, but I don't. In defining the center pivot, is this limited to the device that the long pipeline that rotates around the pivot is hooked to, that which in turn rotates around the standpipe? Or are we talking about the entire line of pipe clear to the end, sprinklers and all, as the center pivot, the part that this building
the whole
defines?
Thing, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
From the place that it bolts on,
clear to the end,
right,
clear to
the
last
end,
frame,
but it sprinkles the water
right,
that
that's
the end.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to include wheel lines in this definition if we go with this, because I can see no difference between them.
Well, do you have a problem now because it's been determined that wheel lines aren't personal property? I don't know that any of them have been assessed as real property.
No, but again, we haven't passed this bill yet, and
if
center pivots are still left on, then the others can be wrote in too.
I, think they're a different ballgame. Now, the attorney that was here, Ted Barbera, was the one that carried the case in the tax court. You'll also be the one that prepares the case in the Supreme Court. And he had some pretty convincing arguments that the center pivot irrigation systems were real property. If he hadn't, we wouldn't even be thinking about going to the Supreme Court with it. But the problem hasn't arisen in the case of wheel lines, and I don't foresee that it even would. What's our administrative rule today?
Do you have a
308 something?
Well, I can see where
I can't agree with him, but then yeah, it's his privilege. It's because it hasn't been included yet. You kind of go with these things for a little bit of time. If you win one, you go for some more. I'd like to hit it all right.
I'd like to ask, which court decisions have it declared that the circular were real property?
They haven't.
That's right. You see, they haven't. They say that it's real property, and that's as far as it goes. No court has done along with Mr. Barbera's reasoning.
I didn't say that they did.
Well,
right.
He said that they seem to be pretty strong.
No. I said that Mr. Barbera has what we feel are strong arguments that they are real property. The court never addressed that issue. The court says it doesn't make any difference whether they're real or personal. They are subject to the phase out.
Because they're in the court.
Because they're farm machinery. And he says that the department didn't see the forest for the trees. Well, of course we don't feel that way,
but we've been arguing the definition of what machinery is for a long time. And that's why I think we're back with this bill. I think that we have to redefine what machinery is to include those things that go beyond just a tractor.
Well, there isn't 2847 addresses your main problem.
Right.
And nobody's got any hang-ups on that.
No, no problem at all.
I wish I'd have kept my damn mouth shut on the center pivot.
Well, you're
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's nothing to keep this farmer from taking this line moving, this wheel line and moving it someplace else. Maybe he's got it in a well. That well peters out. He's not going to keep that investment setting there, so he's going to move it on to someplace else. So I can't see that can be applied to personal, to real estate property. It's definitely personal property. It's like a tractor and the else.
He can do the same with the wheel, or with the center pivot.
Yeah, with the center pivot is what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think.
I farmed all my life, and I've been here for 40 years, and I know that.
Mr. Chairman,
okay, I can't see. Excuse me, Mr. Denny. I can't see any reason for not including the wheel lines if you want them in there, except that we will have to come up with a definition of them. It's just gonna.
Well, I was going to move it. I was going to move the amendment to that and put the burden on Tom to explain what a wheel line is.
Okay. Can I have a trip back to Ontario some weekend so you can show me?
I think you can. We can include that.
You don't have to go that far.
Right behind center pivot for and wheel line.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, does this farm machinery cover manure spreaders?
You bet.
I had an awful time with the new assessor on that whole thing.
It will after we pass this anyway.
Okay. I don't think it's
I don't think it does now.
Presently it doesn't.
Better put it in there.
It doesn't include milking machines either.
It's nothing to do with livestock presently includes them all. Only things related to growing crops.
I'd like to say wheel and set line, the ones that I mentioned in law.
that are not buried, the ones that sit on top.
Go back to the mine.
Are they?
Okay. Don't run off, Bob.
Well, I think I did all the damage I could.
No, we got to.
What else have you got? Haven't you got that all straightened out?
No.
I wanted to say wheel and set lines. The time the type that I was mentioned that you put the whole, you cover the whole field with a set that you don't move until fall, and they're on top of the ground, they're connected. The same as wheel lines. As long as you got enough, you don't have to move anything.
You ought to get it in there. You got to put this bill in. Put it.
Yeah, wheel and set line.
Okay, you got that, Tom?
I got it. Wheel and set line.
We were going to add that after center pivot.
Center pivot.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, for just to try this, I'm going to move the amendment to 2847.
Representative Jones moves the proposed amendment to House Bill 2847, and that will be the amendments just as they are typed on the sheet, except with the addition of wheel and set lines
right.
On page 2,
right?
Right.
I'm giving up my point there to win the other one.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay. Tom?
I don't know. When I appointed this committee, how much who did I appoint on?
I don't know, but we'll take it back.
Doc was chairman, and I think Denny was pointed on it too. But
it doesn't matter, because we'll take it back to the full committee, and they've got to adopt whatever we do. So as far as I'm concerned, you're all members.
I got to vote too.
Before you vote,
why not?
No, I'm not an expert, and I'm not a constitutional lawyer, and I can't tell anything, but I think it may be in this case. Senator Thorne's concerned about separation of powers might have some backlash somewhere sometime, and I, you know.
Did you set a date in this for the retroactive?
I don't.
No,
it's not retroactive, but as Mr. Jones said before, he quoted an instance where a statute was passed by the legislature explicitly saying that it shouldn't be used by the courts in determination of any cases that were presently under litigation, and when the decision came out, it pointed to that statute was passed. But I'm just saying that.
It's got an effective date of January 1st, 78.
Right.
But the Department of Revenue's concern was that if the legislature takes some kind of a definitive action like this, it tends to influence the courts to say, well, that was what the original intent was, and so we may be influencing a court decision.
Well,
but we all recognize that,
yeah,
right?
That's what that.
Yeah, right. And of course, the tape's still running. But anyway, we could be saving ourselves some money by ending the litigation, too. The state's the one that's appealing it, and so that's what we've been sent down here for, to make laws which some of them haven't been the best in the world, but we sure passed a lot of them. And here's one that I think is worthy of the effort. I'm sure that they won't all agree with it.
I don't know. I'm not going to try to second judge the courts, but I find it hard to think they're going to reverse that decision. Okay.
Are you going to leave in on the amendment 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line down in line 4, delete July 177, insert January 173? That's your intention to go back and make this all retroactive?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that is in here, isn't it? Okay.
Now that doesn't make the that doesn't make the center pivot thing retroactive, but it makes the stuff in the printed HB 2847.
Which means that the assessors would then have to go back on retroactive on all this livestock type equipment that they haven't been able to treat that way. But there's no provision for refunding anything in there.
we're gonna leave that in, you mean?
The bill as read now, 77 or 78.
Yeah, you got 78 on fund, 77 in there.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
We discussed that last time too, wasn't it?
Should be 78.
Right, it should be 78.
Unless you're gonna use 73.
Right.
Okay.
Prospect.
Okay, let's go back. We had a motion by Representative Jones, and let's vote on that motion, and then we'll make this change and any others after that, okay?
Oh, mine. What's your pleasure on this? Would you like to change that 73 to 78?
Yeah, let's change that to 78.
On the inside too?
On page 3. It is 78 on in the summary.
About the fifth line down, it's 78. Mm-hmm. It's got a 78. It's apparently the inside of the bill.
Right there. Should be 78. I don't know how it got 73 in these proposed amendments. That would make the whole thing retroactive and would require refunds and so
well,
on.
Because Ted DeLuz didn't really understand what he was doing.
Well, I don't think anyone ever intended to make the
I don't think so either.
Retroactive on the livestock machinery and equipment at all. Yes, Alan?
I believe you'd have a little better wording if you left your amendment in and simply changed 73 to 78.
Right.
And that deletes the line over in section 2, which doesn't say anything about an assessment role.
Okay. In the amendments on page line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on line 6, where it says 1978, we're 1973, we're going to change that to 1978 on the amendments.
Right.
Okay.
I'll include those in my original motion, if you want it.
Okay, everyone knows what we're voting on. We're voting on accepting these amendments with those two changes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried and so ordered. Wait a minute, I got another problem here. Getting back to the definition of
short time
livestock again. Looking at page 2 of the bill, starting in line 27, we got farm machinery and equipment that is the addition of the livestock equipment and machinery to the inventory phase out. And on the livestock, we decided that the exemption would apply only to livestock. In this part, it applies now to livestock, poultry, fur-bearing animals, and honeybees. Okay, so I think we have another policy decision here. We're talking about now the machinery and equipment that's used in the feeding, breeding, the management, sale, and production of these items. Are we satisfied with this, that we want to include livestock, poultry, fur-bearing animals, and honeybees, or do we want to narrow it or broaden it? I think that's the only question I wanted to ask, so make sure that we're in agreement on that.
Are you satisfied with the hand equipment in there?
I would assume that this covers all kinds of farm machinery now.
Well, it doesn't cover worm farms and fish farms.
Or any other agricultural or horticultural use of animal husbandry or any combination thereof.
Yeah, I suppose.
Would that?
If this last part would then bring in everything, any other agricultural or horticultural use.
Oh boy, it's been a long time since I looked at up what agricultural or horticultural use is. I don't think that would probably cover worm farms, just offhand, if I remember correctly. Don't hold me to it. I have to go back and do some research on it.
I'm comfortable with the present language. Any other agricultural or horticultural use that, or animal husbandry sounds satisfactory to me. That doesn't bother me, so that's all right. Okay. The and equipment that was included in
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions or problems or any other issues that anyone wants to bring up concerning the bill? Leroy?
Mr. Chairman, with your new language, that wouldn't exclude a poultry farm such as turkeys or chickens?
Poultry's in there.
But I thought you struck that out.
No.
You don't have a copy of the amendment.
No. Did you strike the word poultry or not?
No, we did not strike poultry.
All right. That's my area.
You're speaking of the equipment.
Yeah, on the equipment part. Now, in section 4 on the livestock exemption, did you said poultry was not presently included in the definition of livestock, didn't you?
Yes.
Ira? At present time, poultry is not included.
No, right.
So that does not.
But don't you have it in your?
Not on the exemption.
Well, not on the exemption. No. Mm-hmm.
We do not have poultry in the exemption from the inventory tax. We have it on the exemption of the phase out of the equipment, but not on the exemption of the inventory tax.
Are they taxed?
Sure, poultry is taxed. It's like sheep and cattle are.
Well, that means then that the items that are not included will be 30% 2010 until they're out.
That's right.
Where the other will go out next year.
Right. Well, the way it stands right now, sheep, cattle, pigs, horses, goats will be immediately exempted from taxation. Anything else would still remain in the phase out and it would be exempted by 1980. Now, does anyone think that poultry ought to be included in that phase out?
Well, my point was we were considering it in one part of it and we were excluding it in another. It seemed like we should remain consistent, otherwise there's room for picking away at what your legislative intent was. Are we talking about agriculture,
well,
or are we talking about just livestock?
We're talking about two separate things now. One of them, we're talking about the machinery,
that's right.
and including them in the inventory tax phase out. The other one, we're just talking about the tax on the livestock and taking them out of the phase out and just completely exempting them immediately. And I think they could be separated as far as that's concerned. But
we'd like to remain as possible, because our people that are into turkeys and into chickens do have a substantial equipment investment that perhaps, you know, you don't need a tractor or as much as you would with some other product. But our people are concerned about being included in that if we can.
Equipment is there.
They're in there.
Not all in,
but not the livestock, not the birds.
Right. To the turkey people are not.
Hard to keep them long enough to phase them out anyway, do they?
Breeder stock.
Well, they would have them.
Yeah, they'd have the same as the cow.
The egg people definitely would have.
There's several.
Poultry on hand the first of the year, and that's your January 1st, your determining date. Department of Revenue, what's your position on that issue?
That's a matter of policy.
That's up to you guys.
What you guys want
to
do?
Put the turkeys and birds in there. Put that turkey
now
in there.
Do you suppose we could make that
turkey
in there?
There we go.
Get all that in
right
now.
We've been passing
to make
bills
make
have been called turkey
be
for a long time.
Might have a turkey head.
Just as well
same,
name
same
it.
As
sub take sub B there and in the use the definition of livestock there to include those items in sub A.
Well, I have some concern about that. Let me tell you what my concern is. The livestock exemption is a part of the governor's program. And his avowed purpose is because of the problems the livestock industry is having because of the drought. Okay, I can see where maybe that might affect, it definitely affects the livestock. It could affect poultry. It's kind of hard to justify the fur-bearing animals and the honeybees on the basis of the drought, I think.
we would agree, and I think poultry is a legitimate phase or part of what we would term livestock.
I'd feel comfortable with adding poultry, but I'm not sure we want to add all the rest of it.
Just a minute. I'm not arguing about fur bearing, but if you got a drought and no blossoms, then I'll guarantee you ain't going to get much honey, and so you can't you can't separate those two issues if you're going this route.
It's merely a shift onto the other taxpayers. Counties aren't going to lose any money. You feel comfortable in that?
Well, I don't have any hang up on honeybees. I do have a concern about the fur-bearing animals part of it, because that's really it's not like a typical farm operation. It's more of a business operation. I think that's a policy decision we got to make. What's the feeling of the committee? Any of the bee people aren't having any problems anyway. The price of honey, they're getting independently wealthy.
They're worried about that spray.
Yeah, they're worried about that, aren't they?
And then of course, we have leafcutter bees that the lifeblood of the seed industry. Of course, they're not honeybees, but they're still bees.
And they're properly.
And they're higher than the cat's back. I'll tell you, they cost $40 a board.
Are they taxed?
I don't know.
I don't know. Not they are.
They're
we'll look into that.
Yeah, I do.
I'm sure they are.
Oh, I'm bad. You haven't missed anything yet.
They produce honey?
No, they
pollinize the alfalfa seed or clover seed, and have quadrupled the yield with alfalfa seed. Yep. They're just as important almost as the ground it grows in anymore.
Yep.
You can't already get seeds without.
You want to include everything that's on in sub A there, then in the livestock?
Well,
suggestion?
I don't hang up with fur-bearing animals, but then I sure think bees, and I could even add leafcutter bees to the honeybee.
Why didn't you just get bees, Denny?
Take the honey off and save the
okay.
bees.
Put bees.
Nice.
Okay, on line 29, take out the bees.
No,
there's a honey.
No. Leave honey at home.
Honey. And leave bees. Okay, and then in section 4, we're gonna enlarge that to include
poultry, fur-bearing animals,
and bees.
Yeah.
Does that make everybody happy? All right.
I'll move the amendments.
Representative Jones moves the amendments, which is to eliminate honey on line 29 and to add in section 4 of the bill after livestock, poultry, fur-bearing animals, and bees. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, carried, and so ordered. I think we're done. Everybody happy? Let's have a motion to send it to the full committee with a due pass.
I'll even make that.
Representative Jones moves the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? All in favor? Well, let's have a roll call on that.
Representative Jones.
Aye.
Representative P. Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Brigiani.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. Carried and so ordered. I want to thank all of you for your help.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
How are
you, Wally?
I'm going down to council now. Probably we want to make it.
It's not major amendment in the sense of adding a lot of language, but it's done a really important one of your team. Instead of saying using the word hiring employee, it talks about credit. We really kind of use the wrong word.
I don't worry about it. I'll be meeting tomorrow. I don't need to go right now. I just want to.
Well, there's going to be a little building there tomorrow, so we can talk about it in the morning.
You can send me in.
Decide if that's what you want.
I mean, the thing changes.
Just go ahead and change that. That's it. And I think.
Jim Newton is waiting for me down here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then we have that one.
Well,
hi, Doc. Say, you got a minute.